Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Who's having a good time in church today? I'm having a good time. I love our church. I love you guys. I'm excited about the future. I'm excited about Vision Builders. I don't even know if I need to even preach after that video. I think we just play that video again. Let's all go to the leaders, you know, or go-karting or laser tag. There's many an option, you know. What do they have at Central Campus? They've got the scuba shop, Subway, if you want a cheap sandwich made by a sad employee. I stole that joke from somebody else anyway. I love Subway, I guess. But we're pretty blessed. It's going to be a lot of fun. Tavern and Bowl, Sky Zone, Kid Ventures, Play City, Karate. There's two pools. Our new building is basically in the middle of a theme park. It's pretty amazing. I'm excited. Hey, why don't you grab your seat, give someone a high five, tell them they're awesome. Band, you guys are amazing. RJ, you can hang up just for a second. Amazing. I love it. I love our church. It's always a privilege to preach, I was going to say from this pulpit, but it's actually a table provided by the AMC. It's a privilege to preach from this table provided by the AMC, which is actually Pastor Jürgen Leanne's pulpit/table from the AMC. It's always a privilege to preach on their table. So let's give honor to our senior pastors. We wouldn't be sitting here if they didn't, like Mike said, fly over 12 years ago, 11 years ago, and start this church. So Vision Builders Month. It is Vision Builders Month. I'm telling you, don't miss church this month. This is a month where God's going to unlock so many things in your world. He's going to unlock so many things in your life. And I've seen it time and time again. I haven't even got time to start telling stories, or I won't even get to my preaching, and then that'd be bad. So I'm not going to go into it too much, but you're going to hear more and more stories, more and more testimonies. And I'm believing that everybody in here this time next year would have their own Vision Builders testimony. Yeah, some of you don't care about that, but I want you to have your own Vision Builders testimony. Yeah, just get some faith up in here. Watch that video. You think, oh, it's good for those six people on the video. That could be you on that video. That could be you with that testimony. That could be you with that story. Anyway, just a thought. But it's cool. You can stay where you're at too. It's up to you. Let's get straight into it today, because I've got 15 points and all kinds of things I want to say. I don't know what I'm going to say today. It's going to be good. Matthew 16, Jesus says this. I love this scripture. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Vision Builders is about you and I together building the church. Jesus has a promise in this scripture to build his church. He promises he will build his church. That is his mission. That is his mandate to build the church. And Vision Builders is about you and I getting off the back foot and getting onto the front foot. Because when you're on the front foot, that's when you take ground in your life. That's when you and I take ground in our lives, when we're on the front foot. Too many Christians are on the back foot. Or they're not on any foot. They're sitting down watching somebody else fight. Get on your front foot. That's where you take ground. That's how we take ground. The reason why we're going into a $9 million facility is because people in our church have decided to get onto the front foot. At Vision Builders, from last year, the year before that, people decided, I'm going to get on the front foot. I'm going to make it a commitment this month above my tithe that I'm going to fulfill over the next 12 months because I'm on the front foot. I'm going to take ground. The greatest thing we can do is build the church. We build the church together. Building the church is not for a select few people that God says, oh, you know, I'll give you a couple of you selected lucky people get to build the church. No, we all build the church together. Today, I want to preach a message titled, The Church We Are Building. the church we are building. And that's good. That's a good little slide there that they made. It's excellent. If I told the guys this earlier this morning when I was thinking about it, if I was to redesign the slide myself, I would have the church and I'd have a massive WE, because it's the church we are building, not the church that I'm building or the church that somebody else is building. It's the church that we are building. Let me pray and then let's get into this message, shall we? God, I thank you for today. I thank you that my words would come out clearly. And despite having an Australian accent, I pray that people would understand, that they would not just understand, but they would walk away with a revelation. And not just a revelation, but they would walk away with something that they can practically do in their life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone said, amen. 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 Thanks, RJ. Take a break for a few minutes and you'll be back up here before you know it. All right. Today I thought it'd be applicable to talk about some of the cultures about the church that we're building, who we are. As we come around vision builders, I think it's important to know, you know, what we're building here, what we're actually giving into. What's the culture of our church? Our culture is not automatic. Our culture has to be intentionally formed by you and I, and our culture is not up for sale. Our culture is not negotiable. Who we are is not negotiable. We have a certain culture, a certain type of church that we're building here at C3, and I believe it's an awesome church. I believe we're building an amazing church, and I can't believe we're only a couple of years in here at South Campus. I'm excited for the next couple of years to see what God's going to do. So I got like 15, not 15, I got like a bunch of things I want to say about some different things that we are. You ready for it? Put your seatbelt on. Boom, let's do this. We are passionate people. We are passionate. The church we're building is filled with passionate people. We're not passionate about religion because religion doesn't change you. We're passionate about Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ will change you. And people can say, oh, C3 is that excited church. C3 is that passionate church. And I like that. That's a compliment. You can give me a 1-star Yelp review. That church is too excited. Well, that's good for you. I think we're a 5-star Yelp review on that one, because I like the fact that we got Travis down here and people have to ask me, is he okay? Is that guy all right? Is someone taking care of him? I want 100 Travises. Suzanne's taking care of him. I want 100 Travises. Because listen, when Jesus Christ radically transforms your life, you can't help, even the most introverted person can't help but get a bit passionate about it. We're a passionate church. We're a fun church. Let me say that again. We're a fun church. We're a fun church. The joy of the Lord is your
strength.
That's right. Someone in here is trying to get their strength back, but maybe if you got your joy back, your strength would follow. Christians that roll in the church all serious and religious like this with a prophecy for somebody in the parking lot coming in all angry. Man, we're a fun church. You can come in that way. We'll let you come in like that way, but you're still that way in 6 months' time. There's going to be some awkward conversations going on because the joy of the Lord is your strength, and we're a fun church, and we're always going to be a fun church. We're always going to go ahead and make rap videos. I don't care. We're going to make rap videos. We're going to have fun. We're going to have games in church occasionally. We're going to have all kinds of fun stuff happening because we're a fun church. The world needs a fun church. Doesn't need a boring church. Come on. People are bored as it is. Come on, I know people that work all week and they are so bored. And they come to church on Sunday and we give them boredom. Give me a break. We're building a fun church in Jesus' name. It's always going to be fun. As long as I'm involved, it's going to be fun. We're just going to give our Krispy Kremes to everybody. Come on. Y'all get carbs. We're a fun church. We love worship. We love worship. I'm not going to preach about this too much because I preached a whole message about it 3 or 4 weeks ago. You should have been here, but if you weren't here, you can check it out on the C3 app. But we are a church that believes in the power of worship. That's why we're having an album recording this week. We believe in the power of worship. In fact, why don't you guys put a picture up on the screen for the church that we're building of the stage. Just real quick, your stage is being built as we speak. You can sort of see it. There you go. There's our stage for our new building being built. It's not being built as we speak. They took today off, unfortunately. So it's sitting there right now, not being built, which is very frustrating. But it's there, and it's almost ready. It's almost ready. But here, we don't build that stage to do a performance or a show. We build that stage because we're a church that believes in the power, the transformational power of praise and worship. Amen. We are a fresh, real, and powerful church. Anybody who's been around here long enough will have heard those words before. And I believe those words to be true. We are fresh, we are real, and we are powerful. Isaiah 43 says this, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing." God's doing a new thing. You can't focus on what's new while you're transfixed on what is old. You can't focus on what is fresh in your world if you're focused on what is former in your world. You ever been on a plane, or maybe a budget airline, that Emma and I did these flights like 5 years ago. We had to fly from Australia to here, back and forth, and we at the time we just had no money, and so we had to get this really cheap flight. It had like a 20-hour stopover in Fiji, and it was like a really cheap airline. I'm not going to say the name of it, but I got in the plane, and it was we saved like $400, I think, in total. It was so not worth it. And I got in the plane, and I'm like instantly this is a bad choice, because the chairs, the things that we're sitting in, have not been updated for 25 years. So if what I can see hasn't been updated for 25 years, then the engine attached to the wing that has my life depending on it probably isn't in good shape either. It wasn't fresh. It was old. It was dated. It was ugly. It made me nervous. You know, flying, you know, it's a risk in itself. Okay, it's a risk in itself. When you have an airline that can't even upgrade the seats that you're sitting in, that's a problem. You ever been to a restroom in a restaurant, and you're so pumped, it's your first time at the restaurant. Man, this is a great restaurant. Oh, I better go to the restroom. And you go to the restroom, and the restroom is so outdated. And it ain't fresh at all. It's dirty. It's gross. And you're thinking, man, this is the bathroom. I wonder what the kitchen's like. And to make matters worse, I don't understand these signs. There's a little sign there that stresses me out. It says, employees must wash their hands. I didn't know that was a problem. Like, it's childhood 101. It takes 15 seconds to wash your hands. Who is working at these restaurants? And why are they so busy that they don't have time to wash their hands before preparing our food? And even if they were that busy, would a sign actually help the situation? Would a chef who's slammed right now in the kitchen, who has to go and use the restroom, see the sign and be compelled? Better wash my hands. You ever been to a building that's not fresh? I don't want to name any names. Let's just say it starts with D, ends with MV. I don't know. Just and you walk in there, and it's like, the last time they did an upgrade was in 1978. That's it, budget cut. That's it, no more. You can tell a lot about an organization by how old their carpets are. You can tell a lot about church by how old their carpets are. How fresh are their carpets? Are these carpets? I'm telling you, as long as I'm involved, our carpets are not getting more than 7 or 8 years old in Jesus' mighty name. Fresh, we're called to be a fresh church. We're called to be a new church. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. Upgrade some things and look at what's new in Jesus' name. You see, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who God is does not change, but what God does may change. How God reaches today's generation may be different from how he reached yesterday's generation. We're always going to be building a church that is fresh, that is relevant, that is new. And I'm sure people are going to say this. I'm just ready for it. It's going to be fun when we get into our new building. Someone's going to say to me, I promise you, 3 weeks is going to happen. 3 weeks of being in there. Someone, religious person, upset, probably got problems with their parents, all kinds of jacked upness, is going to come to me. They're going to say, why did you guys build that big playground? What a waste of money. When I was a kid, all I had was a stick and a rock. And I will respond with, and that's why you are this way. Why don't you put the picture up of our playground? Put a picture of our playground. Come on now. Why we're going to build that playground is because we're a fresh church. That's new. And I want our kids to bring their jacked up parents to church. I want our kids to bring their parents to church. And here's the thing. It's not even about the playground. Guess what's around that playground? Seven classrooms that kids will go into and their lives will be transformed. Their lives will be amazingly renewed. Kids are going to get changed, not because of a slide, but because of the classroom. Amen. And speaking of the slide, why don't you show the next picture? That's me up there. Come on. Yeah, that's all you need to see. Don't climb up. Don't go into the building, please, right now. Don't go into the building. The general contractor has told me that. Church people keep coming in. I'm like, I don't know. I can't control them. Just don't go in there, please. And don't climb to the top of that structure. I shouldn't have done that. Anyway, we're a fresh church. Why do we record an album? Why not just have a week off? Because right now in Hollywood, people are recording albums that are not giving glory to God. And we're not going to sit around and let Lady Gaga determine our culture. We're a fresh church that, and listen, fresh and new is what determines culture. And if we're behind, if we're catching up with Lady Gaga, if we're a little bit behind, we're not called to be that. We're called to be fresh in Jesus' name. We're called to be new. We're also called to be real. Come on now. Real. I love Pastor Jürgen and Leanne. They're such real, transparent leaders. It's amazing. I was baffled some of the things that Pastor Jürgen says. I'm like, wow, that's like really just transparent. It's really honest. I love that. At first I was taken by it, but now I just love it. I love how transparent our leaders are. Because here's the thing, we're not here to play church. We're not here to play games. The greatest thing you and I can do before we leave home to come to church on Sunday is to leave our mask at home, our masks, our mask of pride. That's the mask we tend to have the most problem with. Mask of pride. Put the pride on. Go into church. That's all good. I'm fine. Everything's good. Everything's great. Everything's fine. Listen, I'm a pastor. I have the same problems you do. I probably have more. Probably have more, honestly. But we're here to get real with each other. We're here to build a church that's real. We're here to build a church that is honest, that is upfront, that takes the mask off and says, you know what? I don't have it all together. I have problems too. Can I be real with you? Can I be real? Listen, I don't go to all-you-can-eat restaurants. I just don't. Because I have a problem with self-control and all-you-can-eat restaurants. And I am determined to come out on top. If I give them $20, I'm like, man, you better believe I'm getting out of here. I'm not going to need to eat for a day. Can I be real? Can I be real with you? I get road rage too. I get road rage too. That's why I don't have a Jesus fish sticker. And even when we have C3 church stickers, I'm not sure if I'm going to get one of those. And if you have road rage, don't get a C3 church sticker. Can I be real? I'm not a morning person. I'm not a morning person. I don't wake up and, you know, get my wings and just flap down to my living room and spend 3 hours in prayer and worship. And I just don't do that. I'm not a morning person. I'm just being real with you. Because somebody right now is relieved. You're like, oh, thank God. I'm not a morning person either. I'm not even awake right now and it's 11. Can I be real? Can I be real? I've done a lot of stupid things in my life. A lot of stupid things. When I was 15, I decided to bleach my hair blonde. Yes. I don't even know what I was thinking. In case you didn't notice, I've got massive black eyebrows. Yeah, and you notice them a whole lot more when your hair is white. People ask me to be Santa at Christmas. I chuck on the Santa wig. They're like, yeah, you can't be Santa, man. Those eyebrows, no. I've done stupid things. Just being real with you. Can I be real? Because we're a real church. I'm going to be real with you. I'm not going to hide it. When I was in my late teens, I lost my driver's license twice because I watched movies like The Fast and the Furious and I thought that I was one of the characters from the movie. So I lost my license twice for speeding. Now listen, don't take that as an excuse to be an idiot on the road. Don't do it. And if you're driving any My City Kids around and you're speeding, Travis will key your car, so don't do that. I'm not saying drive stupidly. I'm just saying I've done stupid things. When I was 6 years old, me and my friend, for no reason at all, got an axe and destroyed my parents' fence. For no reason. I've done stupid things. I'm just being real with you. In fact, when I was 11, I drove a car for the very first time on my cousin's farm, and this is what happened. Bring the lights down, bring the lights down. That's a destroyed car. That's me in the bottom picture. I destroyed my cousin's car the first time I drove because I've done stupid things. All right, you can bring that up now. It was a great car. He bought it for $20. The kind of church that we're building is a real church. Doesn't require you to bring a master church, pretend it's all together and maybe it's not. We're building a church with real people. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. How can you do that? How can you pray for one another and confess to one another if we're busy with the mask on? If we're busy having it all together? Everything's cool. And I'm not saying you should go ahead and live stream on Facebook your arguments. Don't do that. Just being transparent. Don't do that. Don't live stream your arguments on Facebook, people. Don't go extreme on me. I'm just saying, let's be real with each other. Come on, we have connect groups, not just so we can get together and eat a bunch of food, although that's good. We have connect groups because we want people to get real with each other in their lives. We have connect group leaders who are there to get real with you in your life. Hey, what's going on in your world? What can I pray with you for? What's a ceiling over your life? What can I help you with? Let's get real with our connect group leaders. Let's get real with our team leaders. Come on, we're building a church here. We're building a church where anyone can come in any shape, in any condition. And they don't have to come in and pretend to be something that they're not. Because we're building a church that's real. And we're going to lead the way. We're going to be real ourselves. And people who come in will feel accepted. They will feel loved because we're not trying to be something we're not. God can't bless something you're pretending to be. Fresh, real, powerful. We're a powerful church. We are a power church. In case you didn't know that, we're a power church. We're a church that moves in the power of God. We believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But wait, there's more. First the Father, then the Son and the Holy Spirit. Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Acts 1 verse 8 says this. I love this scripture. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Chula Vista, in Eastlake, and to the ends of the earth. You see what I did there? Change the locations to where we live. I may have had a car accident, but I got this. I got this. Let's read it one more time. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power, not you'll receive information. Not you'll receive motivation. Oh man, don't even get me started on this. The Bible will motivate you. It's supposed to be motivational, but it's so much more than motivational material. Please. You'll receive power. You won't receive information, nice feelings, nice little motivational moment. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And I love how it says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, not if the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Religion would like to tell somebody in here that the Holy Spirit is an if the Holy Spirit comes upon you, because the Holy Spirit's pretty selective. The Holy Spirit's pretty busy. The Holy Spirit is pretty exclusive, but it actually isn't. It says when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, not if. We're a power church, and the power of God is not for a select few people on the front row. The power of God is accessible to every single person in this room. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We are a power church. The Holy Spirit. Some Christians would rather Just leave the Holy Spirit over there, because it's kind of weird, kind of strange. They make the Holy Spirit the third wheel. Wow. Father, Son, and third wheel. You ever been in the third wheel on a date? It's my worst nightmare. I'm telling you, if I had to choose between going to the DMV for 4 hours or going to Disneyland, which is the worst place to be a third wheel, happiest place on earth, unless you're a third wheel. I mean, Disneyland is made for couples. Roller coasters. They're together. They're all hugging each other. Ah! You're there by yourself. Yay. Or even worse, the whole, hey, we got new single riders. Any single riders? That's me. Here, sit next to this other single rider. Maybe you two can be friends because you don't have any other friends. Enjoy this moment together. Third wheel at Disneyland. And then you go down to the little game section where you can win stuff, and you're the third wheel, and they're just together. They're loving each other. And he's doing the cliche, throwing the ball into the cans, and he knocks down all the cans. And then he gets a little fluffy toy, and she's like, oh, my gosh, I've always wanted a fluffy toy for $10. And he's like, I love you. I'm the starting quarterback. She's like, oh, my gosh, I'm a cheerleader. This is such a cliche moment. And they hug, and you're the third wheel taking the photo for them. Third wheel. That's exactly how a lot of Christians treat the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Fresh, real, and powerful. We're a power church. Here's the thing. The Holy Spirit wants to get in you and transform your life. The Holy Spirit does not want to get to you and maybe change a little couple little things, or maybe change a thought pattern, or change a little habit you've got. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. The Holy Spirit doesn't come and change a little part of you. The Holy Spirit gives you a whole new you, transforms your entire life. Your entire world gets changed with the Holy Spirit. That's why we can't shy away from the Holy Spirit. We can't pretend it doesn't exist. We can't block that part of the Bible out and avoid that. The Holy Spirit is the greatest change agent in our world. And we will always be a church that has the power of God in it. The Holy Spirit is here to heal people, to set people free. I'm telling you, I've seen it time and time again. People coming to the altar carrying a sickness or a disease or a depression or something that they've been trying to solve for 10 years on their own. And in a moment, the Holy Spirit comes in and shifts everything, changes everything, makes something all new. Amen. We're a power church. We're a powerful church. Last thing, we're multi-generational. We're multi-generational. I'm passionate about this. RJ, why don't you come back up and serenade us? I love RJ. Who loves RJ? Just a great man. And don't get too excited. I've got a lot of points within this point, so multi-generational. Psalm 100, verse 5. I'm particularly passionate about this point, so you better get ready, because I'm passionate about all generations. All right. Psalm 100 verse 5. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. His faithfulness continues to each generation. Each generation. God is interested in every generation. He is the God of all generations. He is interested in you whether you're 7 years old or 107 years old. He is interested in every season, every walk of life that you're in. He's interested in every generation. He wants to use you in every season of your life. He wants to use you and have a relationship with you in every season and generation of your life. And there's always a reason, isn't there? Not to be used by God if you want it. If you want to pull the excuse card, there's always a reason not to. Because you could be a kid and you could say, well, God can't use me because I'm too young. And then you get a bit older, then you become a teenager. And then you're like, well, God can't use me because I'm a teenager now. And I've got to focus on my school and my studies, and I'm trying to figure out who I am. God can't use me. Yeah, I'm a teenager. And then you get out of school and you go to college, you become a young adult, you go to college, and then God definitely can't use you then, because then you've got to be all about, you know, studying, and you've got to be about getting good grades and graduating college and doing a great job there. So you put off God. Oh God, you can get a hold of my life once I get out of college. Then you get out of college and you get a job. And all of a sudden you're climbing the corporate ladder. And man, I've got to work 60, 70 hours a week. The guy in the cubicle next to me is working 60 hours. I've got to beat him, so I better work 65 hours a week. And so you start working, and you start getting less and less in the will of God, because you're waiting for that season to come when you've got more time, but the season's not now, because it's all about me right now. It's about me and my career and my drive and my ambition and my thing. And then you get married. That's even worse. That's even harder, because now you've got another person to think about, and you've got to think about date nights, and you've got to stay together, and you've got to have like 4 date nights a week, because how could you possibly stay married without 4 date nights a week? And you've got to build your marriage. I can't serve God. I can't possibly be on an usher team. What about my marriage? What if I pass that bucket and my marriage falls apart? suddenly you're married and you're like, I can't, God can use me later. But then you have kids and it gets even worse again. Because now it's like it takes a long time to leave the house. It's hard to do anything. And you're running around your house and there's toys everywhere and there's Legos. And you step on the Legos and it hurts your foot because the Legos are made of steel. And then there's diapers everywhere. And then you find yourself, the kids get older and you start becoming an Uber driver. And everything you do is just driving your kids around. They start playing soccer. Next thing you know, you're driving to soccer. Every day of the week, you're driving them somewhere and they do dancing. And then you've got to pay for the dancing fees. And they start doing something else and you've got to pay for that. And you get so busy and you're like, God, how could you possibly use me in this season? Because this is too crazy. And then the kids go to college and like, well, flip, now I've got to pay for college fees, so I better start working a second job and a third job and a fourth job, and I'll start working at Walmart on the weekend. I'll do whatever I got to do because I'm so busy. This is crazy. How could God possibly use me in this season? And then the kids get out of college, and then one day you're sitting on your front porch and you're in a rocking chair and you're 78 years old and you think, gosh, what happened to my life? Every season, I missed it. Every generation, I missed it. We're a generational church. We're a multi-generational church. Let's read a story together about Jesus, about God using, or Jesus using a kid. Because I believe that God wants to use children. He wants to use every generation. He has power, has plans for our kids. Amen. John 6, 5 to 11. When Jesus looked out and saw the large crowd had arrived, he said to Philip, "Where can I buy bread to feed these people?" Just when you think Jesus can't get any better, he gets bread. Not vegetables. It's not some paleo thing. This is bread. Jesus said this to stretch Philip's faith. He already knew what he was going to do. Philip answered, 200 pieces of silver would not be enough to buy bread for all these people. One of his disciples, Andrew, brother to Simon Peter, said, "There's a little boy over here who has 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's a drop in the bucket for a crowd like this, though." Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was a nice carpet of green grass in this place. They sat down, about 5,000 of them. That's a lot of people. That's a big catering bill. That's stressful. Jesus said to them, he took the bread rather, and having given thanks, he gave the bread from the little boy. He gave the bread, the fish. They all ate as much as they wanted. So here we are. Jesus uses a little boy. Two thoughts. First thought is, that boy could have hidden the bread and the fish, because he was sorted out. He was fine. He had enough for himself. He had enough for himself. If he just hid that bread in his little pocket, maybe he could have gotten a couple of his friends that, "Hey, I've actually got enough bread and fish just for us. So just keep it quiet and we'll be all right." That tells me that kid wasn't selfish. There's 5,000 people there. I'm not sure scripturally if this is correct, but I don't think that there's anybody. I'm not sure. There might have been some other people on that 5,000 that maybe they had a little bread up their sleeve. Maybe they had a little fit. Maybe there was a selfish 25-year-old, pretty obsessed with his career and his success, that he's just got his own little bread in his pocket and keeping that for himself. But here God uses a kid. He uses a little boy who's not selfish, that has enough faith to trust that if he gives away his bread and his fish, Jesus can do a miracle, and Jesus feeds 5,000 because of what a little boy did. If Jesus can use a little boy to feed 5,000, you and I better believe that he is going to do great and mighty things with our kids. Our kids were not just created to come out into this earth, watch Frozen, watch Disney, and do a few little fun games, and that's it. Our kids were made to do amazing things for God. We're a multi-generational. I'm passionate about teenagers. I'm passionate about my city youth. We are passionate about this generation. David and Goliath. It's believed that David was a teenager when he took down Goliath. A teenager. He was a teenager. You go to McDonald's and who serves you? A teenager. "Welcome to McDonald's, sir. What would you like today?" "A McDouble. Would you like fries with that?" A teenager. He was a teenager. Yeah. David was a teenager. God uses a teenager to take down a Goliath. Yeah. I don't think that church is one generation away from extinction. I think church is one generation away from expansion. And the way our church will expand is when we raise up teenagers who know who they are in Christ, who know how to throw a stone, who know how to take out a Goliath. They know how to take down the Goliath of teen suicide. They know how to take down the Goliath of drugs. They know how to take down the Goliath of teen depression. They know how to take down those Goliaths. Listen, David didn't have a drug problem because David was so busy taking down his giants. Worried about your kids taking drugs? Just get them so busy killing Goliaths, they won't have time or ambition for drugs. Get them so busy. Get them at My City every Friday night. When your kids get an offer for a job at McDonald's, don't take it. I'm telling you, they need to be at My City every Friday night. Get them to My City. Drive them there. Buy them a car. Even if they're underage, no, don't do that. Just get them there. Get them to My City. We are a church that's passionate about our teenagers. We're passionate about them. We're passionate about our young adults. Young adults is not the season to party, party, party. Here's the thing. There's this myth out there that you can either party or you can go to church. But here at C3, we party with a purpose. You don't have to come to church and then leave behind your party. It may change the way that you party, but you can party with a purpose. You can have fun in church. College students, you can have fun in church. Listen, you don't need to have a prodigal son story. You don't need to. You don't need to. Oh, I don't have a good testimony because I just stayed in church my whole life. That's pretty much my story. I tried to backslide, it didn't really work out. I'm a pastor now. I mean, shoot. You don't need to have a prodigal son story. Listen, when you get to heaven, interview the prodigal son. Hey, if you had your time again, would have you done it the same way? I promise you he would have said no. I promise you. You don't need to go to Vegas, throw away a few years of your life. I remember being a young adult myself, and a few of my friends did the same kind of thing. They said, and they all kind of said the same thing. It was like, yeah, I just want to do my own thing for a while. I just want to do my own thing. I just want to have a few years of just living my life, come back to God. Some of them have come back to God, some of them have not. Those who have come back to God have now got a lot of baggage they've got to deal with. And I'm not here to talk about your past. I'm not here to talk about what you have done. I'm here to talk about what you're doing right now, the choice you're going to make today, the choice you're going to make this week, young adults. You don't have to have a prodigal son story. Your young adult years are some of the most effective years of your life. When you are young, full of energy, single, you have so much flipping time. Don't tell me you don't have time. You're 23, you live with your parents, you don't even pay them rent. Oh, you have so much free time. Don't use those years to build your own empire. Build the kingdom. Don't build your empire. Build the kingdom, not your own empire. Don't be married to the idea of everything has to be a major success or I'm not going to be anything in my life. Be successful. Come on, we're called to be successful. We're called to be really successful. I want everybody in this room to be successful. But don't make success your God. Throw away your call of God because you've created your own God. It's not as dramatic as sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It's just success. So you're at church once a month because you've got to, man, I've got to crush it, man. I've got to be the next Richard Branson. I've got to be the next Mark Cuban. You kill yourself and you walk away from the call of God. Now, you may be called to be the next Richard Branson. You may be called to be the next Mark Cuban. Thank you, Jesus, that you will be. But don't throw away God in the process. We're passionate about young adults. We're passionate about families. We have family-based connect groups because families matter. We are a family, but passionate about family church. I believe, and we believe at C3, that family and church goes well together. Family does not compete with church, and church does not compete with family. One of my favorite families are the Huffman family. And one of my favorite things is that I love seeing the Huffmans together serving at church. They serve together at church. On the high team and different teams that are serving together as a family. It's interesting though, I've had other people tell me, well, we can't make church on Sunday because we just need family time. We just need family time. If we don't connect, oh, it's all going to fall apart. We need family time. So we're going to go to IHOP for 2 hours and we're going to play on our phones and not talk to each other. Oop, there it is. Family time. The best place for your family to be is in church together. Come on, somebody. We're a family-based church. Get your family to church. Bring your family to church. Your family will grow together in Christ as a family unit together in church. Amen. We love families. We love families. My last point, one of my most passionate points, is, and this is kind of strange, I'm a 31-year-old man, but I am really focused and I'm really passionate about the more mature generation. I am so focused on this. I believe it is an opportunity. I believe there are people in their more mature years that feel like they've had their time. That just retire and sit back. And let's read a scripture about this though. Psalm 92, 13 to 15. Let's go King James Version. With King James? It's a bit funnier. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. They shall be fat and flourishing. That's the King James Version. That's not the California Version. Let's read the California Version. New King James. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Not fat and flourishing. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Listen, I'm passionate about the more mature generation. I'm passionate about this. Moses, believed to have been in his 80s when he led the Israelites out of slavery. Abraham gets a promise from God in his 70s, gets fulfilled when he's around 100. 100's pretty old, okay? It doesn't matter how much Botox you got, 100's pretty old. But God uses old people. He uses young people, but he also uses more mature people. And I'm going to preach about this because I believe that there are people maybe even in here today who believe that they've gone past their use-by date, they've gone past their expiration date, they've bought into a lie, the devil's told them that their best days are behind them, their best days of ministry are behind them, that they're too old to be used by God right now. I'm telling you, we are going to see a revival in the folks in their 50s and 60s and 70s. We're going to see a revival of them. We're going to see a church filled with those people who get a new dream from God, who get a new vision from God, who step into a new calling from God. Your best days are not behind you. Your best days are ahead of you. You may be sitting in here today, 57 years old, and you may think the good old days are behind me. I've got nothing to look forward to. You have everything to look forward to. One of the downsides to being, to churches being focused on younger people is that quite often, what happens to the older people, older generation? We're going to make sure we're a multi-generational church. I'm going to commit us to go after every generation. Quite often, by the time someone hits 50 or 60, they've got a few ministry wounds on them. Maybe they've been to a few churches and maybe some stuff's gone down. And quite often, the story can be is that by the time someone hits really the prime of their life, kind of can't just do church by themselves on a Sunday in front of the TV, Joyce Meyer or whatever, some TV preacher. But I believe that the greatest asset to the church is the older generation. I love the fact that I could be preaching and in front of me could be a 16-year-old and a 66-year-old. And after church, they can be talking and connecting. The 66-year-old can say, hey, don't do that, kid. And they speak with some authority because they've been there, got some years behind them. As we come around Vision Builders, the reason why I preach this message today is because this is the church we're building. And that as you and I stretch, as you and I sacrifice, as you and I, over the next couple of weeks, make a commitment, I want you and I to know what we're building, that what we're committing our lives to, what we're making a sacrifice for, multi-generational church that's fresh, that's real, it's powerful. It's fun. It's loud. It's exciting. Let's continue to build that church. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to ask the question today before we close up this service. I don't want the service to end without asking this question. I want to ask the question to every single person in here today. Are you walking with Jesus? Are you walking with Christ right now? Look, if you're not walking with God right now, I want someone to pray for you before you leave this movie theater today. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're not walking with Jesus right now, if you were once walking with him, or maybe you were at one stage, but now you're far from him. If you're far from God today, while every head's bowed and every eye's closed, just wave your hand at me right now. I just want to acknowledge you. If you're far from God right now, I'd love to pray for you in my closing prayer. So if that's you today, thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Anybody else today? We've only got a couple of moments left here. If there's anybody else here who's far from God right now, I don't want today to end without you reconnecting with him, reconnecting with Jesus today. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.